you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you. We're glad you're here.
Reading from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Friday, July 8th, 2022. Deceitful scheming. Something to think about as our topic today with our studio guests is what causes you to drift. And Jason, when you text me a few days ago about this topic, I thought, well, what does cause us to drift? And we're going to talk about that. But I turned to this passage because I think sometimes we can drift because we're following the wrong teachings, or there's crafty people or cunning people that are trying to mislead us intentionally, and we can drift, or we've just taken our eyes off the Lord. So I'm going to appreciate hearing what you have to say and what recommendations we can all glean or take to heart that will cause us not to drift so we can stay focused and close to the Lord. And if you were tuned in on Monday and Tuesday, you were probably staying close and focused on the 4th of July and the independence that we are granted because of those that have served this country and even those in uniform that serve us each and every day, the freedoms that we get to enjoy. And it was fun having those two broadcasts and then even with Marianne in the studio and talking about Kate Smith and her rendering of God Bless America. Actually, she was the first to sing that, and I closed out the program with a song by her. It was kind of fun. She was very famous in the 30s and 40s, and I did get some good feedback about that article written by Roger Weisgarber that Marianne read, and then also her story of loving God and loving people and being the embodiment of the American spirit in her singing and through her various ways that she entertained people. So those programs are all archived at greatnewsradio.org, greatnewsradio.org. But on this Friday edition of Mark and Friends, we're going to talk about what causes you to drift. Take it away, Jason.
What causes you to drift? Well, I think that it's interesting because there are a myriad of things that could cause us to drift, not just one thing. In fact, one of my favorite verses for this is out of the Hebrews in the second chapter, and it says, For this reason, we must pay attention all the more to what we have heard so that we will not drift away. And so I always ask people when it comes to this, what is your therefore? Because it says, for this reason, or in some translations would say, therefore, we must pay closer attention to what we have heard so that we won't drift. And for each one of us, the therefore is different. You know, the therefore isn't necessarily, maybe it's not something that's sinful. Maybe the therefore is a weakness we have. Maybe it is a sin. Maybe it's a gifting. Maybe it's pride. Maybe it's a desire. Maybe it's busyness. I mean, what do you guys think are some of the therefores in people's lives that could cause them to drift? Or I would say, when I say drift, not pay attention. Because I used to go boating every now and then with my grandfather. He had a boat. And whenever we would drift, he would say it was because we weren't paying attention. He said, you only drift when you don't pay attention, because you don't keep an eye on where the boat is. You don't keep an eye on how the line is being pulled against the anchor. You don't pay attention to what you're doing. And so drifting happens when we don't pay attention. So what are some of those things that might cause us to not pay attention to what we have heard?
I think it's just the influence of this world.
Mm-hmm.
We are so bombarded by so much stuff from this world, and we don't spend that much time in God's Word.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, anybody else?
For me, it's tiredness.
Mm-hmm.
When I get tired, or if I've been, you know, really busy for days on end or whatever, I very easily revert back to my comfort things and
yeah.
Get off pack.
Yeah.
I think my iPhone, which I couldn't find right now, but it can be those little 2 and 3 and 4 minute clips that mm-hmm. you get drawn into. It's you know, it's an action thriller, and they show that Stallone, Rambo kind of style action situation, and then you just watch it, or it's that four-minute sitcom that's really kind of funny, and you can kind of justify, well, I'm just relaxing, I'm pausing, or I'm having lunch or whatever, but I do find that one may lead into another one, and then suddenly, gosh, I burned 8 minutes or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, how about also, like, the things you take for granted? So, you know, I mean, just think about it. When you get out of bed in the morning, do you ask God if the floor's there before you put your feet on the floor? Or when you turn on the water, do you pray and hope that the water's going to come out of the faucet? Or you just take for granted that it's going to come out of the faucet? Then maybe, depending on what your demeanor is in that moment, you might say, oh, gosh, thank you, Lord, for running water. But all the things that we take for granted until we don't have them, and those are places, I think, where we can lose track of the things that we have heard. You know, I mean, the Bible tells us all kinds of crazy things, that we should praise the Lord all the time, that we should exalt the Lord all the time, that we should give thanks in all circumstances. And yet, it seems like we only like to give thanks when we haven't had something and then suddenly get it, or when the thing that we get is so overwhelming that we are like, wow, this could only be a God thing. You know, it's funny because, you know, God is as much in the one cookie as he is in a dozen cookies. And yet if somebody brought you a dozen cookies, you'd be like, wow, God. But if somebody gave you one cookie, you'd be like, oh, thank you. You know, and so sometimes I think it's the things we can take for granted. So it could be our weaknesses, our sin, our gifting, our pride. It could be a desire. It could be the things we take for granted. Sometimes I think it is the things that, the places where even subtly, you might think you don't need God. Mm-hmm. And listen, a lot of people won't admit that, but there are a lot of places where we'll plow ahead into something without ever having a discussion with our Heavenly Father.
I do that always.
Yeah, I think if you're human, in fact, I'm concerned when somebody says, I never do that. Then I go, oh my goodness. What is your name? Because I think that it happens for all of us where we go, oh, I got this. You know, and yet I don't know about you, Elmer, and thank you for your honesty, but how often, you know, the Lord's like, well, go on, Elmer, I'll be here to help you in just a second.
I always say I'm a double duty man. I usually do things the first time and then stop and think about it and do it right the second time.
Yeah.
When the Lord can help me.
Yeah, I think what you were going to allude to, Jason, was the fact that he kind of gives us the room to fail or come to the realization. And I know it's happened to me many times where I'll work and work really hard and then be exhausted. And he said, yep, I could have assisted you all along the way, Mark, but you wanted to do it on your own. And so I was going to let you really feel the extent of how taxing it'll be or whatever when you, maybe not so much stepping outside of his will, but doing it on my own and plowing ahead.
Well, the Bible says, so, you know, Philippians chapter 4 tells us, the Apostle Paul says, I've learned what it meant to be hungry and in need, to be low, to be high. I've learned, he says, in all things I've learned that everything requires the strength of Christ. That all, there isn't one thing in this world that Paul said, ah, that thing, I don't need God to help me with that. Paul was saying, I need God to help me in every single thing. And I think it's that kind of awareness that keeps us from drifting. It keeps us close and tight. You know, Hebrews will say later on that we have the sure and steady anchor for our souls, Jesus Christ. So he's the only thing that can keep us from drifting. And yet, when we take our eyes off of him, or we move away from him, we suddenly believe that we can do it on our own, we are already beginning to drift.
Amen.
We're already beginning to drift. Now, some of us would say, well, you know, and maybe even when people heard, well, this program is going to be on drifting, they thought, well, this is going to be about the big sins. You know, my thing is that definitely there are these big ticket sins that take people down. But I've always been more afraid of the small ones that erode the shore. You know what I mean? The little small things that over time, you know, they start very small, but then they become bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. You know, my dad used to say when he used to come in and my stereo was on really loud, he said it didn't start at 10, it started at 1 and you kept making it louder. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think that that's just how that happens with us. We start at 1 and we begin to go towards 10 and in that process we are drifting. Now, why is drifting, do you think, dangerous? Why do you think drifting is bad?
To me, I think it's when you drift like that, you're relying on yourself, for all things. And when you rely on yourself, you're just out to please yourself.
Yep. And why else? What do you think that when we drift, we lose?
Our relationship.
Yeah.
Our relationship with God.
And so what is core and most important to our relationship with God that when we drift, we begin to lose sight of, do you think?
That we need Him, that we're dependent on Him.
Yeah. How about His love? Mm. You know, I was thinking when I thought about drifting, because always my question when I read something in the Bible, when I read, for this reason or therefore we must pay a closer attention to what we have heard so that we will not drift, my brain goes immediately, well, what will happen when I drift? Well, obviously, I think as Christians, we'll go, well, you'll begin to become more sinful. Well, yeah, sure. Okay, yeah. But what else happens?
I don't know. When I talk about that type of thing, I'm thinking of the fact that the meaning of, what is the meaning of God's love?
Mm-hmm.
What is the meaning of God's joy that He has for us?
Yeah.
And the more we drift, why, the more we lose sight of really what God's meaning is of these things.
Yeah, totally. And we then cannot become a conduit for that. You know, the Bible says that we can only love because He first loved us. And so there's a connection between our ability to love on a deep and profound level that's connected to being near the Lord. And when we move away from the Lord, when we begin to drift, we lose connection. It's sort of like when you're trying to get that phone signal and you're out in the middle of nowhere and that signal gets less and less and less the farther you get away from the source of the signal. The farther away we get from the Lord, the less and less that we are connected to His love, to His joy, to His grace, to His peace, to all the things that are only possible through Him. And so we begin to lose that. I mean, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5 that it's Christ's love that compels us, that it's Christ's love that gives us hope. And so suddenly now, as we're disconnected, we're drifting from God, we have a lessening amount of hope that comes from God. We have a lessening amount of that kind of motivation, that Christ-centered motivation that comes from Jesus Christ. You know, and so suddenly we begin to become less effective for the kingdom of God by the distance that we are spending from it. So I can't love people the way I would like to love them because I'm not near God. I need to experience His love, and in the overflow of His love, begin to then love others around me. It's only in the overflow of His love that I can love other people. If not, then I think to your guys' point, I begin to love out of my own strength. And I don't know about you, but does that end well?
No.
No, because my love is about me. My love is about what can you do for me? How can you serve me? How can you make me feel loved? The kind of love that God gives us is the kind of love that says, how can I make you feel loved? How can I give to you? His love is sacrificial. His love drives us to say, how can I give up of myself to love others? The kind of love that we have on our own is the kind of love that says, what can other people give up to make me feel better?
Absolutely.
And so when we drift away from Him, we drift away from His love. And I think that that's what actually what Hebrews is talking about, because the title of chapter 2 in my Bible here says, warning against neglect. And I think the greatest neglect a Christian could experience is to drift from the love of God. We already, even when we're near it, have enough trouble understanding it, right?
Mm.
I mean, I think that when I talk to people more and more, I say, do you know that God loves you? And they're like, of course I know God loves me. I'm like, no, do you really know that God loves you? And they're like, of course I do. I'm like, do you really, really know? And they're like, stop talking to me about this. They're like, why do you keep, because especially for guys, it's kind of uncomfortable. Guys, we're not like warm and fuzzy like that. And, guy, and when you start doing that, we get to the point where it is actually very hard for us to understand that somebody loves us and somebody loves us in such a way. I mean, we're not just talking about like an I love you and I want to spend my life with you for better or for worse. It's I loved you while you were still an enemy. I loved you while you were still far from me. I loved you while you were still the most heinous creature in all of creation. And I sacrificed my son as a demonstration of love to draw you near to me. And so that's like a love that I can't even imagine. And then to embrace that love and to believe it, that's difficult. You know, a friend of ours was preaching at our church this past weekend, and he said that he had gone to a church. He said they had three services. The first service was kind of the really traditional service. And the second service was a mixed service. And the third service was like the contemporary rock and roll service. So he said he got into the first service there, and he said that because it was the very traditional service, the median age in that service was like 75. And so, you know, he said there was probably about 40 or 50, 75-year-olds in that service. And he said the worship leader got up and the worship leader began to sing, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And my friend Bill said, oh my goodness. See, Bill said, I always thought that was a song for children. But that's not a song for children. That was a song for these 75-year-olds to be reminded how much God loves them. Because there's not an age in the spectrum that we don't need to be reminded of God's great love. And one of the things I think when we talk about, you know, because we'll tell people all the time, and Elmer, you said, you know, you need to read your Bible more. You need to pray more. But one of the things we don't do is we don't talk about the cost that comes when we don't do that. I mean, you know, we don't say that, hey, you know, when you don't spend time near God, when you don't spend time with God, one of the things you're going to lose, you're going to experience in a lesser degree, is his love. And it's not because his love is less, it's because you've drifted away from his love. You've drifted away from being able to experience and understand, even as little as we can, but you've drifted away from that. And so a lot of people, when I hear them say, you know, well, I'm just in this season, I feel like I'm in the desert, I feel like God is so far from me, I think that one of the things that they're really experiencing is they're experiencing this absence of the nearness and closeness of God's love. And it really is the chasm or the hole, I think, that we experience in our spiritual life. Like, there's nothing like God's love. Nothing like it at all.
What was the heading on your chapter 2?
Warning against neglect.
And that's interesting. Mine, NIV, is warning to pay attention. And while you were talking, I wrote down what causes you to drift. And I put like broken intimacy. Mm-hmm. And what happens when our intimacy with God is broken, we're not hearing his voice. And here my heading is warning to pay attention. We can't pay attention because we're not hearing his voice because our intimacy is broken. We're not experiencing his love because we're probably facing a different direction or going our own way. And we're not in that communion with him to hear his voice, to pay attention, and to have that love restored. Or at least God's always loving us. But
yeah, it's not restored, but it is our ability to experience it. Yeah. Because we're such fickle creatures. And when we drift just a little, I mean, just think about it in your marital relationship. When you drift a little bit in your marital relationship, the first thing that I hear people say when they come for counseling is, I don't feel like she loves me anymore. I don't feel like he loves me anymore. Because when we drift away from being present and in the presence of that person that we love, we suddenly feel like, oh, do they love me? Why don't they want to be around me? What's wrong with me? What did I do wrong? And what's fascinating is that in Hebrews chapter 2, you know, it begins with that in verse 1, but then it says a little later in verse 6, what is man that you remember him, or the son of man that you care for him? God even asks this amazing question in his verse, well, why would you love man? And then the answer to that is the son of man. That's how God shows us how much he cares for us and how much he loves us, is that he sent his son to die for us. That we have a demonstration of his love. That if you go, how much does God love me? You just look at the cross. And what's fascinating is that as Christians, there are crosses everywhere. There's crosses in our churches. There's crosses around our necks. There's crosses everywhere. There's reminders of God's great love. And so when we talk about, well, why do I need to read my Bible more? Because I want you to know how much God loves you. See, the problem is that I think one of the great problems that we've had in our kind of modern era of evangelicalism is that we read the Bible to know God, which is good. It's a great endeavor. But I always want to add this. We should read the Bible to know God and to love him more. So as I read the Bible, I'm loving God more because I'm learning more about this person that I'm in this deeply intimate and loving relationship with. You know, it's sort of like when I was dating my wife. We were like two goofy kids, you know, we wrote each other letters and stuff like that. I mean, I hadn't done that since grade school. We were in our 30s and I would write her letters and I love you. And I'd write, draw a little picture of me handing a heart, and it was all syrupy and sappy. But when I would get a letter from her, I would read it over and over and over. And there were words in there where I'd go like, oh, I know what she's saying here. Oh, she loves me so much right here. I can see it. And I wonder if we would embrace our relationship with God, our love relationship with God, in such a way that as we read his word, we go, oh, look at this. It says, what is the Son of Man that you care? Oh, that's what he's talking about, how he sent Jesus to die for me because he loves me that much. He wanted to restore a relationship with me and come near to me. That when it says in Romans 8, 35 through 39, that no height, depth, width, or anything in all of creation can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, he means it. Mm-hmm. That when the enemy comes knocking, we should just look at him and go, listen, I know you're trying to come after me, but God said that if you try it, he's going to take you out. That there's nothing, no height, width, depth, or anything in all of creation that's going to allow to take away that which he claims is his. And so you can try, but God, he plays for keeps. And so I wonder if we would have that kind of boldness, confidence in what God says. And that's only going to come through reading his word, through knowing who he is. And anywhere where we depart from any of that, we're going to begin to drift. We're going to begin to, as I think as you guys said so rightly, begin to trust in ourselves. And the Bible tells me to trust in the Lord with all my heart. So all my affections are upon him. All my love is due him. So I love the Lord with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength. And then what do? Then I realize who I am. I love myself because I'm God's creation. And then I love others. And out of the overflow of understanding God's love, I begin to love others. And when I drift, I don't know who I am and I don't love others.
I was going to say that one of the things that I try to do always when I talk to people, I like to bring up the word of the Lord in one manner or another. If nothing else to say, just God bless your day. Mm-hmm. And if you depart from the Lord in your day and you're thinking more about yourself, you forget to do things like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've taken it recently. I've got, you know, people message me and things like that. And I started ending my messages by just saying, I just want to remind you that you are loved. Mm-hmm. And I've had more people respond back to me and tell me, I really needed to hear that today. I really needed mm-hmm. to be reminded that I was loved. Sometimes I think that we carry this powerful word called love and we don't utilize it like we should. We have this opportunity.
I'll close out with a portion from Hebrews chapter 2, verse 6. What is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him? Listening friend, God does care for you, and it's important to know God, but recognize that we are known by God, and most importantly, we are loved by him. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Pastor Jason Schiffel, Alaric Shoffley, and Elmer and Gail Zules with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day and night.